Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
There are very few similarities between the personalities that we encounter in Mark chapter 5. The three major ones. You have a demon-possessed, insane man. You have a ruler of the synagogue, highly religious man. And then you have a poor woman who has suffered for a long time because of inadequate medical technology. Not a whole lot of similarities. Except this one thing. Each one of these individuals, in Mark chapter 5, there's a passage that specifically says with each one, they fell at the feet of Jesus. What did they find there? Let me offer these three things. Number one, at the feet of Jesus, there is emotional stability. At the feet of Jesus, there is emotional stability. In the first 20 chapters of Mark 5, events take place on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. As Jesus steps foot on that side of the shore, a man possessed of demons comes to him from the graveyard. This is where the man lived. He lived among the tombs, the text says. And people thought that he was either a danger to himself or a danger to others or a combination of both. And so they had many times tried to restrain him physically, even to the point of putting chains on him. Didn't help. This particular demon possession had affected the man's physical strength to the point that not even chains could hold him. We're also told that he was constantly screaming. The word means literally shrieking. He also was mutilating himself regularly, cutting himself on purpose. I'll pay for that one. Verse number 6 says that he falls down at the feet of Jesus. The Greek word there is proskuneo, sometimes translated worship, and your translation might have that. That he worshiped Jesus. Literally, that refers to the posture of worship where one falls before another. And he pleads for mercy. The demon speaks. Pleads for mercy. Jesus casts the demon out, or demons plural. When the man speaks his name, he says, "We're legion, for there are many of us." Well, Jesus casts the demons out. They enter a herd of pigs, some 2,000 of them. These demons run the pigs into the sea and they drown. And as the people come out to see what had taken place, verse 15 says, they now see the man clothed and in his right mind. One of the other accounts of this incident indicates that the man had been walking around without clothing. Now he's clothed in his right mind. And in response to this amazing event, the people actually ask Jesus to leave. This scared them. They wanted Jesus out of their land. And so he tells the healed man to go back to his home and tell his friends how much the Lord has done for you. Now, obviously, a miracle had taken place here with the casting out of these demons. But I think there's a broader point that we can learn from this, and that has to do with the fact that this man gained emotional stability when he fell at the feet of Jesus. Every person who lives in sin is to that degree and in a sense controlled by Satan. In the sense that we allow his control because we sin by choice. But when we allow him that control, control it is. Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 3 speaks of those in sin as those who walk according to the course of this world, who walk according to the prince of the power of the air. That's a reference to Satan. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Colossians 1:13 speaks of those in sin as being part of, members of, subjects in the kingdom of darkness. And sin is a cruel taskmaster. John 8 verse 34, Jesus spoke of those who commit sin, who live in sin, as being bondservants, slaves of sin. And sin can cause a lot of mental and emotional heartache, such as sadness. Sin can cause sadness. That emotional distress. You know, the prodigal son of Luke 15 was deep in despair until he came to himself and went back to his father. In Matthew 27 verse or 26 verse 75, the Bible says Peter went out and wept bitterly when he realized what he had done in denying Jesus. There is sadness associated with sin. Sin will also scar. The effects of sin can last even beyond the guilt of sin. One may be forgiven of certain sins and yet still bear the pain and anguish associated with poor choices of the past. Even Paul would still refer to himself in 1 Timothy 1:15, long after his conversion to Christ, as still the chiefest of sinners. Bitterness can accompany sin. Negative and critical attitudes often come by harboring sin and constantly carrying the burden of sin. Sickness is associated at times with sin. There are a lot of physical illnesses that can be due to spiritual problems. What if we live lives of constant worry and fretting? That can affect us physically. Ulcerated stomachs, heart problems that are associated with things of that sort. So sometimes our spiritual problems can bring us a lot of mental anguish and heartache. In other words, we're not talking about demon possession as it was in the first century. But we're taking that application and saying there are some things that can cause us mental anguish today. And a lot of it has to do with sin. And spiritual problems have spiritual solutions. But if you spend time at the feet of Jesus, learning from Him, listening to His Word, sin can be removed. And the effects of sin can be removed as well. Because He's a high priest that can sympathize with our weaknesses. Because He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet He without sin, Hebrews 4:15. He came to give us life and that abundantly, John 10:10. If you need mental, emotional, spiritual stability and contentment, you'll find it at the feet of Jesus. Number two. At the feet of Jesus is a happy family. At the feet of Jesus is a happy family. Jesus crosses the sea. And when he arrives, a man approaches him and, notice verse 22, falls at his feet. There's our theme. The man comes, falls at the feet of Jesus, and pleads for his 12-year-old daughter, who was near death. The health of his daughter meant more than anything at that point in his life. Don't forget who he is. He's a ruler of the synagogue. This is one of the religious leaders in Judaism. most of this man, if not all, of his peers, his contemporaries, the other rulers in Judaism, were seeking Jesus' life. It wasn't commonplace for the rulers of the synagogue to be the ones constantly coming to Jesus for help. They were seeking to destroy Him. Didn't matter to Jairus. He had a 12-year-old daughter that needed what the Lord could provide. And so he comes to Jesus and falls at His feet and begs for his family. And Jesus begins to walk with the man to go to where his daughter is. And on the way, they're interrupted by a woman who herself had a problem, and we'll talk about her in a moment. But when Jesus finishes with the woman, don't know how long that encounter took, but when it was over, some people approached where they were and they told the ruler of the synagogue, "Don't bother him any longer. Your daughter's dead." But Jesus continues on with the encouraging words to Jairus, "Only believe." And they continued on, arrive at the house, and despite derision from those who were mourning the daughter's passing, the Lord proceeds. He raises her from the dead and restores happiness to a family. We think about the application of that. Jairus is not unlike the rest of us, if you're a parent. He's not unlike us. He only wanted something good for his daughter. What parent wouldn't want that? Parents, if you've got a sick child, what do you want for that child? Healing. You want the child to be better. And so that makes us no different than Jairus. But sometimes when the problems become deeper than just a physical illness, perhaps the problems become spiritual, we then lose our connection with this ruler of the synagogue in this sense. When he needed something that would help his family and restore their happiness and joy, he knew where to turn. To Jesus. Do we? Is that where we turn? When we seek a restoration of happiness and joy in our families? Falling at the feet of Jesus could cost this man friends, perhaps family, could cost him his job. Didn't matter. Would you persist as he did? His friends at his house, when they finally arrived, meant well, but they tried to dissuade him from bothering Jesus further. And when they arrived, they laughed at Jesus and what he said. But he persisted because he knew that at the feet of Jesus was the only place he was going to find and that happiness that he wanted restored. So he persisted. Would you? Parents, if you want today what is best for your children, you will see that both you and they spend time at the Lord's feet. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. Talk about the Word of God. Talk about God's laws and His commands when you rise up and when you lay down, when you are walking by the way. Wherever you are, find opportunity to bring the teaching of God into the lives of your children. At the feet of Jesus is a happy family. Number three. At the feet of Jesus is a place to bear your soul. At the feet of Jesus is a place to bear your soul. Now we come to the woman. While Jesus is on His way to heal the daughter of Jairus, A woman approaches him who had been suffering from a physical ailment as long as Jairus' daughter had been alive, 12 years. And she had suffered at the hands of the physicians who could not deal with her problem. And she pushes through the crowd and grabbed the garment of Jesus. Verse 28 says that she said, "If I just touch His garment, then I will be made well." Interestingly, the import of the Greek there is she kept on saying that. She kept on saying. It's almost as if as she was pushing through the crowd, she just kept telling herself, "If I can just touch His garment, if I can just touch Him, if I can just get there, I'll be made well." She pushes through the crowd, grabs His garment, is healed. Jesus knows what's happening. He's not surprised by this. But He turns and looks at the woman. And she then approaches. He asks the question, "Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched my garment?" The disciples are kind of taken aback by that. They said, "Look at all these people, and you want to know who touched you?" He knew who touched him. The woman, verse 33, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling. And verse 33 says, she fell at His feet. And then she tells Him the whole story. Jesus says that it was her faith that had been rewarded. There was no need to be afraid. But I want for you to think about what this woman had done. And in this sense, we're not unlike her sometimes ourselves. She wanted a blessing from the Lord and wanted it badly. But she wanted to receive the blessing and then just slip away. She wanted the blessing from the Lord without full disclosure. She wanted to enjoy the benefits quietly and then slip away without having to confront the Lord personally. Are we like that? Do we want to enjoy the blessings that come from having a close relationship with the Lord, but we really don't want to be that close? We don't want to have to confront the Lord face to face and deal with Him personally. We just want the blessings and then let me slide away and be off by myself. Folks, God wants more from you than just a place to hand out blessings. He wants you. Romans 12, verse 2, present your bodies as living sacrifices. God wants you. Hebrews 4:16 says that we can come ourselves boldly into the throne room of heaven. Think about that. That's where God wants you. In prayer, we can enter into heaven's throne room. That's more than just sitting passively by, just hoping that God's going to bless us without us having to confront Him personally. Do you remember when Elijah struggled in 1 Kings 19? Jezebel was seeking his life and he runs off by himself and ends up in a cave. Do you remember what God said to him? 1 Kings 19, verse 11. "Elijah, come out and stand in front of me." We have to confront the Lord. But the good news is that when we do, when we fall at the feet of Jesus, it's a place where we have the freedom to bear our souls. So whatever it is that your relationship with the Lord evokes in you? Perhaps it's fear. It was with this woman initially. Whether it's fear, maybe your relationship with the Lord brings doubt. Maybe it's joy. Maybe your relationship with the Lord is good. So your relationship evokes love in your heart or happiness. Well, whatever it is, take it to Him. Because He wants you. We are not just blessing receptacles. Yes, God gives us a lot of blessings. And a lot of them have nothing to do with the way we live our lives. God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5. There are other blessings that are safeguarded, that are reserved for those who are willing to confront the Lord. If your relationship with the Lord evokes in you emotions that are not what they should be, like fear or doubt or whatever, if it's weakness, take it to Him, confess it, turn it over to Him. If it's joy and happiness and love, express that. Express your gratitude for those things. How long has it been since you fell at the feet of the Lord? Has it been so long that emotional stability is not yours anymore? That you wrestle with the emotions of life? What about your home? Is your home characterized by things more closely associated with hell than heaven? Do you need a happy home? Have those circumstances caused you to just want to slip away and not be noticed? Don't do it. Because it's only at the feet of Jesus that you'll find emotional stability, a happy home, and a place to bear your soul. If you need to come to the Lord for whatever reason, don't pass up the opportunity that the Lord Himself is giving you. If you need to turn from your sins, because you're not a Christian and you need to become one of God's special children, then do that. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2, verse 38. If you in the past have done that, and yet, because you haven't walked close to the Lord, it shows in your life, and repent and pray. And come back to the Lord who has not forsaken you. Come back and let Him welcome you home. Fall at the feet of Jesus. Seek His forgiveness. Seek His pardon. Bear your soul. And trust that He'll forgive.